Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Peter Gibbett Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Timothy Hengst, and today is July 11th, 2020, which means I'm on day 210 in a row of 365 promised episodes that brings you unedited, unscripted, improv, news, movies, music, sports, food, entertainment, and all things except politics. 9 million cannabis roots were found in one Turkish town, a town called Lice. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to live in a town called Lice no matter what. Just remembering that some kids who didn't shower when they were in grade school had those little white bugs in their hair and would make us all get checked by the school nurse because they thought that maybe it would spread to us. But hey, we actually took showers, so we never got it. But the town of Lice in Turkey. 9.2 million cannabis roots, they call them. I don't understand what that means. Did you count each individual root coming off of the main portion of the cannabis, of the root ball itself? I mean, what are you counting here? What is cannabis roots? Maybe it's just like the base of the plant after they chopped off the top and already took the weed. So, I mean, good job busting nothing, I guess. You found a bunch of worthless dirt and soil, pretty much. I don't really understand what's happening here, but 9.2 million cannabis roots were seized, as well as 1.2 tons of actual cannabis. So, you know, over a couple thousand pounds of weed, which, you know, that's a bad loss, don't get me wrong. But when you think of how many roots they say they found, which if each one is individual, 9.2 million, I mean, wouldn't that span like an entire country's worth of space? I'm really not understanding what's happening here. Either way, that was the headline I read. I read into it further, and it seems that the you know, I guess group, the PKK that runs these drugs, also run heroin and other drugs, which is why they have their hand in the illicit drug trade in such a way that they don't want to allow anything to slip past authorities, including marijuana, which is why this bust was so important for them, even though it's just weed. But also, in Turkey, marijuana is still highly illegal. So, you know, that's just something you got to worry about when you grow. Apparently, this drug town of Lice has had a previous bust with like 5 million plants taken down at once. I mean, this place just has millions of weed grow operations apparently going on. I don't understand how that's possible. I'm trying to imagine it in my head, and I just, because it sounds great. But either way, it's a mountainous region. Apparently, they just have a really perfect place to cultivate weed. Great climate, you know, cut off from authorities for the most part. But now it's a known place where people grow weed. So if I was you, I would hop, skip, and jump to the next town over and start my new operation there. You're not going to get very far in a place where they already know everyone grows. What happens if you party it up in Australia during lockdown and go to a birthday shindig and get somebody to go buy you 20 meals worth of KFC at 1:30 a.m. and a paramedic sees this and reports the vehicle to the authorities? And the authorities are so bored over there because there's no crime that they follow the car to the house and find out a bunch of people were partying for a birthday. I'll tell you what happens. They fine you $18,000 in U.S. money. Now, they didn't fine them in U.S. money, but that's how much it would have cost us. Over there, it was $26,000 Australian dollars. So I'm telling you, if you're in a lockdown somewhere and you choose to go against it and party, don't have somebody go out and get KFC for 20 people in the drive-thru at 1:30 a.m., you moron. I mean, think about it. Somebody is going to see this and think it's sketch. They were in a full-on lockdown, like 100%, like we were a while back, because although Australia and New Zealand didn't have very many cases of the outbreak of the coronavirus, as far as the original outbreak, recently, in the second wave, they have been hit with up to 288 cases in Melbourne City alone in 24 hours. So with that being said, the lockdown is fully in effect over there. And if you break the rules, you're going to get hit up. I mean, just think, $26,000 Australian dollars, whatever they're called over there. I don't know. Maybe they're just called dollars, perhaps. For 16 people to split. That's a lot of dinero. Those people are screwed. Now, that's a very expensive party and batch of KFC. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm surprised to hear that KFC is that popular and open at 1:30 a.m. in Australia. Over here, KFC, for the most part, closes at like 10 anyways, even without a pandemic. So the 1:30 a.m. thing, well, that's blowing my mind. I mean, who's eating fried chicken at 1:30 a.m.? That's crazy. I wouldn't be able to go to sleep for at least 3 hours. I'd have to walk off all that grease, which I wouldn't be able to do in lockdown. Now, apparently these peeps were partying it up in the backyard of a house where in the front of the house, two people were asleep. So I don't know if those two sleeping people also got hit with the fine or if they're going to have to split it with everyone else. I mean, for all I know, they were just partiers that passed out early, but they were still partiers. So doesn't that mean they have to pony up? But not really, because you're asleep, and the other people are the ones who are stupid and decide to go get KFC. If I'm the sleeper, and I wake up to this, I'm telling them I have no part of it, and I ain't paying a dollar. Well, folks, if you're traveling from San Diego through the desert eastward for any reason this weekend, make sure to have your AC prepped and on full blast, because otherwise you just may die of heat stroke. Apparently it's supposed to be between 114 to 118 degrees in some places in East County, where there is just pure desert all the way until you get to Arizona, which seems like the whole state is basically desert over there. I'm sure it's going to be hot in Arizona anyways, but in San Diego County, they are not used to this type of heat. Now, here on the coast, we're lucky. We get the cool breeze, the wind, you know, just doesn't get as hot. And it's still going to be around 85, you know, mid-80s for the most part, which is easily tolerable for people who are used to high 70s in the summertime like we are here. But I'm telling you, East County, 110 plus degrees, I could not do it. I am not okay with that. I just can't personally do it. I'm like, I physically am unable to. I will pass out and get heat exhaustion and be sick. And it's just not something I enjoy, which is why I live over here by the coast. But I have contemplated moving east because of the cheaper housing opportunities. And I'll tell you, sometimes it seems worth it because in the wintertime, when everywhere it's about 70 or less, you think, oh man, I should be paying much less rent and still have a 30 or 40 minute access to the beach and everything's fine. Why don't I live in East County? But this is one of the reasons why. Because sometimes after a just freak stroke of heat like is coming up this weekend, I would just be miserable or hospitalized if I even left my house for 5 minutes. So for me, it's not worth it. And people in East County, be super careful. If you're traveling from San Diego east, just know that every mile will get hotter until you reach the seventh circle of hell. Well, folks, the most expensive video game ever just sold at auction for $114,000. What was it? Super Mario Brothers. The first one. From regular Nintendo, sealed in the box with a 9.4 rating out of 10, making it somewhat like perfect, like virtually perfect to the naked eye. I don't even know where they found the 0.6 that was wrong with this. But either way, what makes this game $114,000? Well, not only is it rare to find an original regular Nintendo game of any kind that's still in its box, untouched and unopened, but this specific version of the box of this Super Mario Brothers game had a cardboard tab on the back that they would use to hang these games in a, you know, in a video game store on one of those metal racks that they would slide all the games in with the cardboard tab on the back. But this one has the cardboard tab and is sealed in plastic, which actually rendered the cardboard tab useless. But they did this because somehow, some way, the cardboard tab came before the plastic wrapping, and they wanted to just keep all the boxes they had already made with the cardboard tab, but still seal the game in plastic anyways, and so they just sealed over the cardboard tab, making this game so rare, and the box itself that it's in being rare, that the collector was willing to pay $114,000, making it the most ever made off of a game ever being sold anywhere in the history of video games. That is incredible. That during this time, with a pandemic, so many people hurting for money, there's somebody out there willing to shell out enough to buy two brand new cars in order to get a little 8-bit game that we've all beaten 1,000 times if any of us were born, like, in the 80s. We've all beaten this game, and I'm seriously impressed that it raked in that much. What would I pay for this game? Maybe $40, but I'm not rich. Whoever did buy it remained anonymous, probably because if people found out that they're willing to shell out that much for a video game, then they probably have a lot of money, and it might be time to rob them. Well, folks, it can't be July 11th without me talking about the UFC tonight. Fight Island finally opens up in the United Arab Emirates, showing that Dana White is a man of his word when he said he was going to create an island strictly for UFC to take place during this pandemic, so there's no worries. He was correct. He's not a liar. The guy speaks the truth. Listen to what he has to say. Now, we already know there's going to be 3 big-time title fights, and that is awesome. The main event being Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, which I cannot wait for. I got to say, I think Masvidal is a better option than Burns, who had to bail out because he has the coronavirus. This is going to be more exciting anyways. These guys are going to stay on their feet and beat the snot out of each other. Coming in at number 2 in the co-main event is Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski. Now, Volkanovski is on a tear lately. He is at the top of his game. And let's face facts. Max Holloway has been pummeled by everyone that's anyone in the UFC over the years. He is, I'd say, on the downslide of his career, but do not count him out. He is still and will forever be known as one of the best fighters in UFC's history. This guy lays it all out on the line. He does not hold back, and he will not hold back in this fight. That's a guarantee. Volkanovski versus Holloway will be not only a grudge match, but just a grinder where these guys are going to just punch each other's faces until one person can't open their eyes any further. That's a guarantee. Coming in at number 3 in the co main event is Jose Aldo, not to be confused with Jose. For some reason, it's Jose. I don't know why. I've always asked that. Jose Aldo against Petr Yan, who is a lesser known, but I think wild card in this case, and has a serious chance at beating Jose Aldo, who has succumbed to some pretty big time losses in his career when a lot is on the line, and this time a title is on the line. So let's see what transpires in that co main event. I can't wait. There's also some pretty good other fights going down tonight, folks, in the prelims and the other cards of the main event, including Paige VanZant fighting, who I have to say is still, to me, the only somewhat sexy female fighter the UFC has ever seen. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been times where they've made Ronda Rousey look fairly good looking. to where I was like, all right, you know, she's kind of hot. But there's never been a UFC fighter other than Paige VanZant who I've actually said, dang, I would totally do her. In this case, Paige VanZant takes that crown. Misha Tate sometimes looks pretty good as well. But for the most part, female UFC fighters look like people who have been beat up a bunch, because they have been, and generally a little bit more manly because they're very buff. Which is, you know, what you should be if you're a girl fighter in the UFC. You need to be in good shape, as strong as possible. Don't worry about what people think about the way you look. That doesn't matter. You're not supposed to go in there looking like a model. You're supposed to go in there and beat the crap out of the person you're fighting. So I respect the women's portion of the UFC just as much as the men's. I can't wait. They're always exciting fights. They have a lot to prove. And for this, I am super excited for tonight, folks. Make sure you find somebody who's got that pay-per-view fight, or you order it yourself if you're willing to pay the $70, or you go to a place that's going to show it if any bars or restaurants near you are even open. But if not, folks, you're welcome to hit me up, because I'm going to be watching that on my box at my house for free. Folks, it's time for the portion of the Peter Gabbett podcast we've all been waiting for, I'm sure, and that is Real Stories, brought to you by Peter Timothy Hengst and Barbecusion. That's BBQUSION. And today I'm going to tell you the story about a guy who was a good friend of mine, but at the same time, once in a while, he would just be a flat-out scumbag. And that man is named Jeremy Herb. Now, I'm pretty sure this guy's never going to hear this, but if he does, it doesn't matter, because he is far enough away from me that even with his gigantic body and stature, he won't be able to reach me to smash me with one quick blow, because he's a giant compared to me. But regardless, it's nothing negative towards him. Like I said, he was a good friend of mine, great guy overall, cool dude, but man, he was a stickler when it came to his weed pricing. So get this. Back in the day, between the ages of 16 and 19, I sold a huge amount of weed on a daily basis. I mean, sometimes a pound a day. To me, that's a lot. I had great deals. I had always, you know, above average weed. Anyone would smoke it. I would smoke it. Always good. But this guy, Jeremy, had the best connection for outdoor Humboldt County dank I've ever seen. This stuff was called RuPaul. Don't ask me why, because it wasn't like a hybrid of a male and female plant. No, it was just extremely dank weed. It smelled up a room or a house. If you just opened a container that had a nug of this in there, it had a little hint of purple to it. It was bright green, and it was smothered in keef. This shit was sticky, stinky, some of the best weed I've ever had in my lifetime, and he would get it in huge quantities. Now, some guy he knew, I think his name was Justin or something, would drive all the way down to NorCal from Portland and drive all the way back up, you know, maybe once a month or whatever, and would bring him his giant stash of this really dank weed. Now, being as difficult it was for him to obtain this weed because of the long journey that had to take place, Jeremy would charge people an arm and a leg to get an ounce of this stuff, usually 300 or more, sometimes $350 for 1 ounce. That's 28 grams of weed. But he would sell individual eighths to people, that's 3.5 grams, for $50, no matter what. Nobody got a cheaper deal. His own friends paid the 50 or didn't get any. That was his rule. He was like, hey, I charge everybody this. I charge my mom this. I charge my friends this. I charge everybody this. You're not getting a better price. Now, there should be an exception to this, in my opinion. On a day like a day that I brought him an ounce of my bud, not my personal weed, it's not like I ever grew all the weed that I sold. It was always somebody whose connections I had, and I had quick connections. I didn't have to wait for anything like that. I could get a pound of weed the day of in 30 minutes or less, whereas this guy would have to wait for his buddy to travel all the way to NorCal. So understand, But I went to Jeremy's house one day, and he needed an ounce from me. And I was like, well, I'm surprised. You know, usually I, you know, if I feel like I really want some really dank weed, I hit him up and I pay that stupid $50 price for an eighth, which I can't even believe because of the cheap deals that I sell people weed for. I mean, I sold eighths for 35, sometimes 30 bucks each, which was, you know, relatively good weed. It was dank. It just wasn't as incredible as the stuff that he would get. So I get to his house. Sitting in his room, we're smoking bowls of the weed I brought, of course. And because he would never even load a bowl of this Humboldt County weed for us to smoke together. No matter what, he wouldn't share any. You would never get any for free, that's for sure. And he buys an ounce off me for 200 bucks, which I didn't know why. I was pretty certain he was going to sell it or flip it to somebody else. And yes, he did. In front of me, he buys the ounce for 200. Sells it to an old woman who shows up to his house for 300 bucks in front of my face. I think the transaction even took place across from me. Like, he was sitting there, then I was next to him, and then she was across from both of us and actually passed the money past my face to him, and he took it. And I witnessed him making 100 bucks off of a cheap-ass ounce that I just sold him that, if you break it down, probably cost me about 180, so I made maybe 20 bucks off of him, giving him the cheapest possible deal that I could because he's my friend, and he makes 100 bucks off me immediately in my face. She leaves the room, and I ask him, hey, man, you just made 100 bucks off me. Can I get an eighth of that dank for 40 bucks? You'll still make money, and I know with the price you get it for, if you sold each eighth for 40 bucks, you would still make hundreds of dollars off each pound. And I'm simply asking for a one-time $40 deal for an eighth of that super dank that you have because I just witnessed you make 100 bucks off my weed because I gave you a really cheap deal when I normally sold them for 250 bucks to people. And he goes, 50 bucks. And I'm like, dude, seriously, come on, man. We're friends. You know, I just saw you make 100 bucks off me. I only made 20 off you. And I know your eights are usually 50. 10 bucks is not that big of a deal. I can't physically get my pride to allow myself to pay the full 50 after seeing what just happened. Can I please get an eighth for 40 bucks? And he goes, 50. And I'm like, dude, you're a bitch, man. Seriously, come on. You're a bitch. You freaking do this? Like, this is ridiculous, man. I was pissed. So I refused. I was like, you know what, man, screw you. Never mind. You know, I didn't say that to him because he was a giant. And I had seen that he does have somewhat of a small, short temper, short fuse, if you will, to lead him to get pissed off. And I didn't want him to get pissed because, you know, me and him, we used and abused each other. When I wanted to show someone some really dank, I would send him to him. When he wanted to get a cheap price and rip somebody off in front of me and make a bunch of money and then charge me the same $50 bullshit price for an eighth of his dank, he would. So, you know, we needed each other in some way. But I gotta say, that day, I lost a ton of respect for that guy. I thought as a friend, he would just do me a favor since I did him one right then. And of course he wouldn't. And that was ridiculous. And so, you know, I stopped pretty much hanging out with that guy entirely after that day. I stopped hitting him up. And it turns out he ended up getting busted, just like I did. So you know what? Joke's on you, buddy. We both got screwed. In the end, I must say, the lesson to be learned here is, don't count on your friends being your friends when it comes to money. You know, money talks, and it tells them not to share their money or wealth with anyone because they're greedy bastards, especially in the game of weed. So in this case, he might have been my friend still, but it doesn't really matter because he ain't going to hook me up no matter what when he knows he can get more money. That's all there is to it, folks, and I thank you for listening to the Peter Gabbett Podcast today. It means the world to me to have listeners like you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Now, a lot of people have heard of this East Coast rap crew, but never really heard of any of their music. Mostly only heard of them because Tupac would always talk crap about the Fugees and Mobb Deep and all these East Coast rappers. So here's a Mobb Deep song that I actually like called Shook Ones that maybe might paint them into a better light for you if you're a fan of rap. If not, You're going to hate this.
Move it up, son. Word. Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers. For real, because who ain't got no feelings. Feelings.
Just watch my back. I got your front.
Check it out now. Stuck off the realness, we be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers, the mob comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough shots to share. For all those who wanna profile and pose, rock you in your face, stab your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for theyself in his land, we be gunning. And keep them shook crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to. I can see it inside your face, you're in the wrong place. Cowards like you just get their whole body laced up with bullet holes and such. Speak the wrong words, man, and you will get touched. You can put your whole army against my teammate. I guarantee you it'll be your very last time breathing. Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player. Don't make me have to call your name out. Your crew is featherweight. My gunshots will make you levitate. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. When the things get for real, my warm heart turns cold. Another nigga deceased, another story is told. It ain't nothing really. And yo, done spark the Philly. So I could get my mind off these yellow back niggas. While they still alive, I don't know. Go figure. Meanwhile, back in Queens, the realness and foundation. If I die, I couldn't choose a better location. When the slugs penetrate, feel a burning sensation. Getting closer to God in a tight situation now. Take these words home and think it through. Or the next rhyme I write might be about you. Son, they shook. Cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook. Cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks.
Scared to death and scared to look.
Living the life that of diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones.
Shook ones.
He ain't a crook, son.
He just a shook one.
For every rhyme I write, it's 25 to life. There was some muscle gas to trust, safeguard of my life. Ain't no time for hesitation, that only leads to incarceration. You don't know me, there's no relation. Queensbridge, if you don't play, I don't got time for your petty thinking mind. Son, I'm bigger than those. Claiming that you pack heat, but you're scared to hold. And once the smoke clears, you be left with one and you don't. 13 years in the projects, my mentality is what, kid? You talk a good one, but you don't want it. Sometimes I wonder, do I deserve to live? Or am I going to burn the hell for all the things I did? No time to dwell on that, cause my brain reacts. Front if you want, kid, lay on your back. I don't fake jazz, kid, you know I bring it to your life. Stay in a child's place, kid, you out of line. Criminal mind, thirsty for recognition. I'm sipping, E and J got my mind flipping. I'm bucking, digging my ways out of hope for hustling. Get that loot, kid, you know my function. Cause long as I'm alive, I'ma live illegal. And once I get on them, I put on all my peoples. React quick, split lyrics like Max, I hit your dome up. When I roll up the beat, go sleep because I'm free. Son, they shook, this ain't no such thing. As halfway crooks, scared to death, and scared to look. They shook, this ain't no such thing. As halfway crooks, scared to death, and scared to look. They shook, this ain't no such thing. As halfway crooks, scared to death, and scared to look. They shook, this ain't no such thing. As halfway crooks. Living the life that of diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones.
Shook ones.
He ain't a crook, son.
He's just a shook one.